with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
I'm thankful you joined us for this session. Get your Bible, and let's do some Bible study. That's the only way the Bible can talk to us, is by what it says within the covers of this book. These are words inspired of God. They are intended to guide us. They feed us spiritually. And that's why God exhorts us continually. Study the Word. Be with the Word. Use the Word. I am a big fan of words. I love a crossword puzzle. As a matter of fact, I carry a small one in my hip pocket all the time. If there is a place where I'm going to have to wait for a few minutes, I do a crossword puzzle. For many years now, Reader's Digest has always had one section in there, a page, and then on the opposite side, the solution. But the page is always, what does this word mean? He gives you two or three, four options to choose from. And there are 10, 12, 15 of those. I love to do those and check on the backside to see if I really knew what those words mean. And so, what we're going to talk about, I'm going to entitle what the Reader's Digest calls it. It pays to increase your word power. Now, let me tell you, when it comes to this, it does pay to increase your word power. Long time ago, God's prophet Amos told the people in chapter 8, verse 11, I'm going to send a famine into the land. He said, it will not be a famine of bread and water, not a famine of things that nourish the body, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. Because that, of course, is the food for the soul. And those people had that famine. There was nobody there to preach. There was nobody there to teach. And so they were starving to death spiritually. Several years ago, I had a couple who came to me and talked to me. They wanted to worship with a congregation where I preach. They said, you know, something has been wrong for a long time in our lives, and we just haven't figured out what it is until this week. This week, we discovered that we are starving to death spiritually. Now, they were going to church every Sunday, but they were not being fed with the Word of God, but with something else. Now, you know, when you have something else, it may be funny. It may be enjoyable. It may be slick. It may be professional sounding. But if it's not the Word of God, then it doesn't feed your soul. You're starving to death spiritually. Hosea said, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God wants us to take His Word. Study His Word. That's why Timothy was told, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Acts 17:11 describes the people at Berea. They were more noble than the people at Thessalonica, and he says this is the reason. You receive the Word with all readiness of heart, and then search the Scriptures daily whether these things be true. When you hear a man preach, you need to put him to the test. Is he saying what the Bible truly says, rightly dividing? Or is he preaching some creed that was decided on by a council of men, decided by something else other than the true Word of God? You see, there's a vast knowledge between those. And we need to make sure that we are aware of that. All right, in the first place, one of the most important things in your Bible, about three-quarters of the way through, suddenly you'll find a blank page. Somebody says, preacher, what do you mean that it's important to have a blank page? That blank page is there for the purpose of showing you that the Old Testament has ended and now the New Testament is beginning. Now, that's one of the most important things we need to learn about Scriptures. If we don't know that, then there's hardly any way that we can know the truth, know what is actually taught to us. You know, you're reading somebody else's mail. When you decide that what was said to somebody else always applies to us. Now, the principles may apply, but the Scripture itself and the exact action that's under consideration may not apply at all. And so we need to look so that we can find the difference. You know, the Old Testament is generally called the Law. It's centered around the law that God gave to the children of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. This is how they governed their activities. They were a nation under God. They were also an assembly or church under God. And so all civil matters and all spiritual matters were to be settled by what God said in His Word, which to them was the law. Now, the law was not given for salvation. We find when we come to the New Testament that that's going to be fully argued to its complete point by the Apostle Paul, especially in the book of Romans. But it was there to make man aware of sin, make man know what sin is and whether or not he's guilty of sin. And it served a great purpose in doing that. It was a necessity, but not had a weakness. And God said, I put the weakness in it myself. It was not able to save the souls of men. Now, there were many things that were done. Animal sacrifices were offered continually. But it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Hebrews 10:4. Jesus said, Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus' blood is only in the New Testament. What we do is acceptable to God only if it's covered by the blood of Christ. That means the New Testament. Now remember, we have principles that we have gained from the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, in several instances, let's use the instance that is used in the 1 Corinthians letter, where the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10, here are the things that happened to the children of Israel back in the days of yore. And they are written for our learning, our admonition, that we can profit from them. But the laws don't apply to us. The principles do. But he said, therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then followed it with that wonderful verse 13. In that verse, we are reminded that no man is tempted above that which he is able to bear, but God will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so Jesus had His blood of the New Testament. Hebrews 9 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? Who? The blood of Christ. Through the will of God. He shed His blood that those back in the Old Testament can now be redeemed. They could not be under the law. That was not the purpose of the law. But now, Jesus has shed His blood, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, in order that remission of sins might be available not only to those who are living in past ages, but those who are living in the New Testament age of Jesus Christ. So we have to know the difference between the Old Testament, which is usually called the Law, and the New Testament, which is many, many times called the Faith. It is amazing to me, truly amazing, that so many people have no understanding of what faith is. Some people think it's wistful thinking. You know, I have a lot of confidence in this. I believe this is the way it's going to be. You know, sort of like the fellow who makes a bet at the racetrack or on a card game or on a roulette wheel or whatever. That's not faith. Or somebody else may think it's the power of positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale made himself a millionaire many times over, and one of the ways in which he did it was to appeal to people, feel better about themselves. There was a book written that told us, not by Norman Vincent Peale, a book that was written that told us that there is power in positive thinking. But now that's not what faith is. Faith is what comes from the New Testament. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing of the Word of God. More than 100 times in the New Testament. That word, the, is before faith. The Old Testament is the law. The New Testament is the faith. Now, since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, then our faith has to come from the faith. Anytime a man says he believes something, and it does not stand up to the standard that is here in the Word of God, then no, he doesn't have any faith. He may have a strong opinion. He may believe this is the way it is, but that doesn't make it true. My faith must be in the faith. Now, if that's not true, there are so many, many places where a man's going to err. You know, when people cannot tell the difference between the Old and the New Testament, they've overlooked the fact that not only is the New Testament covered by the blood of Christ instead of the blood of bulls and goats and asses and heifer, they overlooked the matter that the Old Testament was removed when Jesus died on the cross. We are told specifically, Colossians 2, verse 14 beginning, blotting out that handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, he had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, why was it contrary? Why was it an obstacle? God made it that way. Not to save people from sin, but to show them what sin was and to make them aware of it. One cannot read the book of Romans, greatest treatise of the New Testament. All books, of course, are inspired of God. In the book of Romans, God had the Apostle Paul to go into a deep explanation of what faith really is. And so, you come naturally to the conclusion that the faith is placed over against the law. Men are saved by the faith. Now, sometimes people get the wrong conclusion out of that. Matthew 19, the Jews come to Jesus, want to know about the subject of divorce and remarriage. And Jesus started the discussion with a very simple question. He said, have you not read? The problem with so many people is that they have not read God's Word. They have not learned, as Timothy had to learn, to rightly divide the Word of truth. Let's think about some things that come naturally out of the results of not reading, not knowing the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are those, for example, who do not accept the New Testament at all. If one is a Jew and does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the New Testament means absolutely nothing to him. Now, if he is a Hasidic Jew, he is clinging closely to the commands in the Old Testament. When you're in Israel, you can tell a difference between that kind of person and all the others. Israel, as it exists on the map today, is not a religious nation. It is not the people of God. It is a political entity. And 99% of the people who live there know that's true. And yet we have so many people here in America who think, oh, God gave them that land forever. They are the chosen people of God forever. Listen, Paul says it's not that way. In Galatians 3, he said, we're all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He said, here's the reason. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now get this. If that has happened, he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, all one in Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came in order that man might be released from the law of the Old Testament. There's no temple to go worship God as there was in the Old Testament. If there were, God would not expect anybody, Jews included, to go there to worship. Anybody who's familiar with the teaching of the New Testament is fully aware of that. All you have to do is read the life of Christ, who himself was born under the law, kept the law, and died under the law, as Paul explained to the people at Galatia, chapter 4. But we have to know that he did that in order that he might nail that law to the cross and give us this blood-sanctified New Testament, Matthew 26:28, his own blood. Aside from those who do not believe the New Testament at all, there are those who think, well, yes, I believe all the Bible, but I believe that men are saved by faith only. Now, here they don't have the in front of it. It's one of these things, saved by faith alone. Well, I know you haven't read. Because the only time God says anything about faith only, he says, James 2, verse 24, specifically, men are not saved by faith only. Now, how could anybody believe salvation by faith only when the only time the Bible ever says anything about it, the Bible says it is not by faith only? Now, the faith is the basis of my faith. I must believe what God has told me in the New Testament. I must obey what God has commanded of me in the New Testament. You know, aside from these who do not believe that there's a New Testament, there are those who think, oh, we have a New Testament. But you know, the heart of the New Testament is still the law of Moses, or they would call it the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not any different from the hundreds of other commandments that were given in the law. Not written in stone that they might last forever, written in stone as a witness that there is a much greater law than these ten. Well, that was customary at the time of the day. When men made a covenant with each other, they put stones there. Each one would put a stone to indicate we agree to the covenant. We're both agreed, and this is the witness of it. And that's why we have the two tables on which were written the Ten Commandments. And those who say, well, you know, God just brought the Ten Commandments over into the New Testament. Oh, no. The New Testament is a book entirely new. How could you call it the New Testament if it's still just the same Old Testament? You know, when you ask people, well, what about that fourth command? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They say, well, you know, what happened there is that God changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. You'd be surprised how many religious people today who think that Sunday is a Sabbath day. Oh, no. No, the Sabbath day was only the seventh day. God made it specifically clear. And besides, if you say you're keeping that commandment, do you do any kind of work on Sunday? Do you do any kind of cooking on Sunday? Do you do any kind of traveling on Sunday? All these things were forbidden by those who observed God's Sabbath. Now, he didn't bring it in the New Testament. In the New Testament, men worship God on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. No, we are not keeping the law in any sense of the term. We have a complete new will, settled, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look again. Another thing that we have to keep in mind if we're going to rightly divide the Word of Truth and increase our word power, we must know the difference between the miraculous age of the New Testament and the non-miraculous age. There was a time when the church was established, first Pentecost, following the ascension of Jesus Christ back to heaven. Simon Peter was the spokesman for the first full gospel sermon, and the first salvation under the New Testament took place at that time. Now, there were those prepared for it who had become the foundation, but no others had ever heard the preaching of the Word. Oh, thank God for that wonderful Pentecost day. On that day, some 3,000 souls received the Word with all readiness of mind. What did they do? They cried out to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told, this is God's plan under the New Testament. This is what God's will is under the blood of Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why do that? Well, the answer is there. In order that you may receive the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus had already prepared the disciples who had gathered around Him before His death when He went back to heaven. His last words to these men were these: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You tell them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now you teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. It's absolutely necessary to know that there was a time when we did not have a written New Testament. We only had it revealed through inspired men, not through an inspired book. And so these men had to demonstrate that they were telling the truth. How did they do that? They didn't say, well, just get your Bible and see. And have one. And so God said, during this time, when I'm in the process of having my Word put down in written form, these inspired men will represent me, and they will do miracles to prove that this did come from me. But you know, God said, when that started at Pentecost, there would be a day when it would be over. Jude, verse 3, we have now received the full faith. Everything God has to say to us, we have already received. And it was proven by miracles. How did Jesus prove He was the Son of God? John 20, 30 and 31, many of the signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, there was a day when rationalism came on the scene. And it's been this kind of thing for a long, long time. I want to talk about this in a later lesson. But you know, when men said, oh, rationally, we know that this is true and this is true and this is true. Scientifically, we can take these positions. Men began to worry. How are we going to answer that kind of thing? And, you know, when that's the high step, the church steps up its effort to match it. And so we go through the ups and the downs, and there are those periods of time when all the rationalism and humanism is high. Well, that's the time that more and more people believe that they hear God say something, or they see a miracle, or that they can do miracles themselves. Oh, no, no, no. All of that ceased after God had revealed His entire will to mankind. You know, the same passage that says people under that part of the New Testament could heal the sick also said they could raise the dead. Now, if one of those is true, the other one is too. Now, if you believe you can work miracles, I will let you pick the cemetery. I'll let you pick the grave. I'll drive you to it with my car and my gasoline, and if you can raise the dead, then I'll believe that we still live in an age of miracles. If you can't, then you can't heal the sick or any of the other things that are mentioned here. When we rightly divide the word of truth, we are sure that we're handling God's word aright. Rightly dividing. Let me plead with you. Receive the word and search daily whether it meets the scripture demand or not. Study so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. Know that God's plan for man's salvation today is hearing His word, Romans 10:17. Believing it, John 8:24. Repenting, Acts 17:30. Confessing, Romans 10:9-10. And being baptized to be saved, Mark 16:16. It's been a joy to put these things before you. Remember, it starts and stops right here.